008, Mr. Nyswender.
Yes, Chair Miller, committee members, we have to reconsider the motion by which we sent 5008 back out to full committee because we have back before us today an amended budget note relating to community corrections and a new budget note that Representative Doyle has been able to work with staff on since the last work session that addresses concerns surrounding pursuit of alternative sanctions, investigations, and prosecutions, and making the most efficient, effective use of DOC resources, state police resources, and DA resources.
Well, thank you. And Senator Brown does move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 5008 to the Full Ways and Means Committee. Any objection to that? Hearing and seeing none, it is back before us.
Chair Miller, committee members, the first note is the revision to the community corrections budget note. This reflects a collaborative work with the co-chair Westland and representatives of the Sheriff's Association, who sat down and went through this and have added some words. The underlined words are new. You'll see a couple words that are bracketed. Also embodied in these changes is the change that Representative Hanson and the chair brought up in this previous work session relating to the third bullet. Essentially, the key changes to this budget note are in the lead-in paragraph, it's substitution of the word collaboration, deletion of that word, and insertion of the word partnership, which is a word that guides the rest of the bullets and the activities that go on there. And also, the bullets add language that requires the review to be expanded, not just on practices that relate to the use of alternative community-based sanctions, but also actual community corrections experience in practices. There was some key words added also that specified at least two of the envisioned outcomes of 1145, which relate to protection of the public and reducing recidivism. There are others. And the second bullet has added one word relating to the establishment of realistic performance measures. And the others are just for consistency, as was previously discussed. The two is changed to and in the third bullet.
All right, Mr. Nyswender, let me ask you, on that first paragraph, what does the word actual do for that sentence? What are the other kinds of experiences besides the actual ones?
Chair Miller, I think this is an attempt to get through realistic data and as accurate as we can get it.
So the SS been kind of unreal?
Well, it adds emphasis.
Alleged.
It's unreal, man. Dude?
Yeah, alleged community corrections experience.
Okay, well, I don't want to get away with you words.
It was an important word. It was an important word, Representative Westland brought.
Now we're just trying to impress the people out here that we need this. Representative Doyle, did you have, or Senator Brown, did you wish to be recognized?
No.
No, Senator Schroll did, though, I'll get to it. Yes, sir.
When?
Sorry. I started this last week, I got in trouble with you, and I'm learning again.
You're starting to learn by now, aren't you?
Get to him. I was just wondering, what are, especially in the first, in partnership and then in the first bullet, what's the practical effect of this? How is this different than it was? If we're interpreting it, what are we doing that's different?
Chair Miller and committee members, I guess the primary purpose for the budget note is to provide some direction from the legislature to carry on the implementation of the Senate Bill 1145 as it was envisioned. And that is, it was envisioned as a balance between the use of incarceration and alternative community sanctions. As you can tell from the interest in this particular area, increased use of incarceration does cost more. Increased use of incarceration, and if it were part of the formula as a direct factor, it would significantly increase the cost of the community corrections grants. What this, the purpose of the budget note is to say, as it was envisioned, this was to be a blending of alternative sanctions as well as the use of jails with the interest of achieving the best outcomes. We have, in fact, implemented the legislation. Facilities have been built. Nearly $100 million has been spent. The baseline funding formula has been modified last session to reflect actual costs. This is essentially what the co-chairs believe is the next step, which is to say we need to, before we further pursue efforts to change the deal, and the deal was based on some assumptions surrounding the use of incarceration and alternative sanctions, before we move to further discussions about that, the next step is to really move to get to best practices. You know, there are various practices around the state and various counties for various reasons, and this is to give some direction to the department to say, identify those practices, establish some performance measures to track performances, share that information with counties, incorporate those best practices into the intergovernmental agreements, and pursue the use of that so that we can see what's real, what's appropriate, what's best in the interest of public safety, as well as the best outcomes, and perhaps for another day, discuss the deal.
Okay. Has the department worked with whoever, with the co-chairs on this language, so both are comfortable with it? Because it seems to me that, whether partnership or collaboration change anybody's authority or not. Does it give more independent authority to the counties vis-a-vis the department? What do we know what it all means?
Well, Chair Miller and Senator Trow, I guess we could have people call to the table. I think by the nodding of heads, you probably will get confirmation that they are both sides
they are
comfortable
all agree.
With this.
They're comfortable.
This
okay.
1145 was a partnership arrangement, and this continues to use that word for that reason.
If I understand this, it also is calculated to ensure that those who come to this room next year may revisit this discussion. I think that's 2 years.
Unless, of course,
unless
the
it's the special
session.
That's right, annual.
Or your annual sessions bill actually passes the House.
Right. Okay. But anyway, everybody's comfortable with it, so it's something that we can live with, I guess. Huh?
Any other questions? Any discussion? Representative Hansen, you want to move the adoption?
No, I would love to move the adoption. The original language was almost poetry, and this has actually improved it.
Think so?
Okay, I'll take that as a motion to approve this language in the House Bill 5008, the budget note revision. Discussion, objection, hearing and seeing then is adopted. Now, Representative Doyle, or you?
Actually, Representative Doyle.
All right. Just a little background that got us to this point. A while back, at least, I'd had some discussions with the district attorneys that seemed to be impacted by the prosecutions involved for crimes committed inside the walls within the Department of Corrections, and that just, I think, probably part through inspiration of the budget process with the Department of Justice that I started scheming a bit on, you know, what can we do to either get more funding to the DAs if they had to, if they are supporting all these prosecutions, and to, you know, make sure that there is some accountability from the department for, you know, essentially having to go to get these when crimes are committed in the wall, inside the walls, that they have to go outside to the state police and the district attorneys for this assistance. And that then kind of led me to a couple of thoughts. One was, you know, maybe we ought to set it up so that the Department of Corrections just pays the district attorneys an hourly rate, similar to what the DOJ bills out to other agencies. And that then led to other conversations saying, well, maybe it was more or it was easier to have the Department of Justice just take over prosecutions and get the DAs basically out of it. Well, the DAs didn't mind that at all because it would relieve them of some significant workload. But just this last Friday, we had a meeting with all the parties concerned, at least from the all but the unions that were not there. But in essence, the message that I got was that the scope of the problem is actually much larger. That, I mean, we're talking, you know, that there's a significant number of hours that go into both the investigation of these incidents by the state police and also then the prosecutions. And there's a lot of evaluation time even that, you know, to even decide if they need to prosecute. And the Department of Justice, they saw that if this work was transferred over to them, there was a minimum of six new attorneys that they would need to take this on. And they may have to set up satellite offices in the counties where those correction institutions are that have the most problems with this kind of issue. And it turned out that those who have the most problems are the medium to high security prisons, and typically, and so we're basically talking three counties, Malheur, Marion, and Umatilla counties. And so then as we had this discussion on Friday, we saw that this is a bigger issue of accounting for the, really to kind of get an idea of what the problem is and how to solve it, that it's not something that we could resolve just in the limited time we still have this session to address the bigger problem of seeing just how, what kind of offenses are being investigated, and then what the DAs do with them, and the kind of hours that go into it. We just don't have any data to show the kind of hours that's being spent on this work. So instead, we all agreed that there's no doubt that the DAs in these three counties need some support, and they need help if we can get it to them this session. And as a quick fix, we had identified, maybe part of one of the Christmas tree bills, we're going to be looking to just adding a DA to each one of these three counties that will then be used to support the corrections prosecutions. And of course, that doesn't do anything to help state police with all the investigation work that they have to do, but it does focus more on the DAs and getting them some support. So at that point, I think as we left that meeting, my impression was that that we still, although we're doing this quick fix, if we can get even that piece put into the budget so that these three counties get some extra support, it doesn't really go to a full analysis of the problem and seeing really just what the scope of the problem is. And and the only way to fix that is to give the corrections department and the DAs, the state police, the unions, all some time over this interim to just start tracking what kind of incidents occur. Can there be more effective utilization of the administrative sanctions that the Department of Corrections is already permitted to use before they have to take it outside? With a caveat that state police does review most administrative sanctions already, just as a kind of a safeguard to make sure that the department doesn't take on too much without having some kind of accountability outside, and the state police does do that, but making sure that we can start looking at the cases that that occur, and then how both the state police and the DAs respond. And we're hoping that we can come back next session with the kind of data to then see if there's some other way to look at this issue, to see if nothing more that we have just more accountability on this piece, that it's not just a matter of throwing money to the DAs saying just go ahead and take care of it, but that we can be assured that corrections is doing everything that they need to do to keep the prison population safe and secure, and that they are using all the administrative sanctions that is available to them, and that basically we're not ever going to get rid of having problems inside the walls. I mean, we're not typically imprisoning those types that are all willing at that point just to kind of settle down and not not do any more crying. So we're and I understand that, and I think though ultimately it may lead to at some point having to provide more support through the Department of Corrections to the DAs or the state police. We don't have the funding for that anyway this time around, but yeah, it seems to me that this is at least the right step to at least get a handle on the issue.
Senator Troll.
Yeah, I think it's a good step, and it sounds to me like something we need to do. I was thinking, I had a discussion with the DA from Benton County the other day about their staffing problems and the kind of, yes, a substantial additional number of homicides to prosecute, and they're really short-staffed, and he makes a good case for that being the highest priority. If we ever put any more money back to in the DA's budget, is to allow them to improve their staffing and give some more state support to deputy DAs. Rather, he thought it was more important than the overall DA salary itself, at least from the operation of his agency. But one of the things that is true, certainly the prisons are a big concentration where there are likely to be problems of like this, but there's some other big concentration of people wherever there's a major university. There's a tendency to be more necessity to prosecute and so forth. Clearly, it's a different clientele, obviously, and they're not so oriented to violence. But nonetheless, maybe we ought to be thinking about the responsibility that we do pass on to localities for police and fire protection and DA prosecution, things like that. We ought to look at that as we do our work, because increasingly, at least it's true in the cities are really, Corvallis, hard-pressed to have enough money to provide its services. Counties are increasingly hard-pressed, and so are we, hard-pressed. But I think a study of this is very good, and so I appreciate what Representative Doyle is doing here, and maybe we ought to think beyond that to other responsibilities that state activities bring to local communities and local governments.
Representative Doyle, I take it you want to move that language as a budget note to House Bill 5008?
Yes, sir.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hansen.
Just a couple quick things. I'm assuming that with Marion County's involvement, that they can probably talk about the history they've had with the Women's Correction Facility that might apply to Clackamas County and Coffee Creek when it opens. So at first I was thinking, well, maybe it should be broadened out to more counties, including Multnomah County with Columbia Ridge, but since that's a minor, or not a minor facility, but a minimum security facility, it's probably not problematic. The other just philosophy question on this. There's no question for a long time Marion County's carried a real burden with the Salem facilities. And I think we need to be aware of the impact, but there's kind of a long line of communities that look at either prisons or institutions of higher education as a benefit to their community. They've got, especially in terms of economic terms, and I think sometimes there's a ticket that goes along with those, having those type facilities. It means an increase in some local participation, but in some of the costs of providing the necessary services to host those facilities. But this is a good first step in terms of looking at what the real costs are and what the real impacts are, and then that next discussion in terms of when a community asks for facilities, whether they're expected to step up to the plate in terms of the host costs. But first you have to know what those host costs are before you can really get to that next part of the discussion.
Yeah, just to respond real quick, Last year, as an example, and just the rough data we had, there was 220 incidents referred to the state police for prosecution. Of those 220, 193 of those were in those three counties that are named, because those are the medium to high security prison sites. The minimum security just typically don't have those issues, because that's why they're in minimum security. So that was the reason for the focus on those that have, and even have, the population of 1,000 or more. And I think that, we're not going to have much data for the Coffee Creek facility, the women's facility, until probably 2 years out anyway. But I mean, it may show that that's something we have to expand to look at that in the future.
Thank you. All right, there's a motion before us.
The review will not necessarily restrict itself to just to these three counties, will it? As we look at the problems, I know that those three counties probably have special needs, but there may be other counties that, as we build more prisons or as we do things, that also would be affected.
That's correct.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Are you seeing that it is adopted? Anything further to come before the committee?
Just one other thing that was handed out before you, just as a heads up. Tomorrow, the subcommittee does meet at 9 a.m.
We need to send the budget back up.
Yeah, we'll need to do that.
Thank you. Good idea. You can go ahead and finish the line here and do it.
Well,
I appreciate just that, so.
Between now and tomorrow, you do need to read House Bill. There's some amendments that are going to be in here. A bill, House Bill 5048, will be in here. This was the subcommittee it was assigned to. And the amendments that you're going to see are, it's going to set up an account, a continuous appropriation account for various agencies. Whenever agencies expend other funds, they need to have an other funds account for which those funds are put into. They're continuously appropriated, which means they can spend everything they get unless the legislature sets a expenditure limitation, which we do in almost every case. So this is a list of agencies that, in our review, did not have such an account, and it's really a technical housekeeping type amendment, but we do need to push this bill out, and this subcommittee gets the pleasure of doing it tomorrow, and I need you to have some heads up about it. Dallas Wayand will be in here from our office to go over this with you tomorrow, and it just gives you a chance to read it in advance.
Mr. Chair.
Is that our only item up tomorrow?
It is.
And what time?
9 a.m.
So Senator Brown. What have all these agencies been doing since they haven't had these accounts established?
That would be a good discussion
tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I can't wait that long.
All right. I appreciate Senator Brown has moved House Bill 5008. Now having been further amended with the additional budget notes from the full Ways and Means Committee to pass the recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is short. I thank you all.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
You didn't need my
It was close. It was close.